today I want to talk about cause and effect. Cause and effect is a topic that is so simple. It is unbelievably simple. It is almost too simple. I struggled because of that. It simply stated that one event may cause another event is so plain and simple for us to understand that it is clear to the most novice observers. Little babies, even little babies, have an innate understanding of cause and effect. And they can't even talk. They learn this principle very early. When babies cry, it doesn't take them very long at all before they figure out that they can expect a certain response in their parents, hopefully, whether that response is positive or whatever. But since this is such a simple concept, it seemed like it could possibly be too boring to present something about it today and to look at how events are caused by preceding events. So I won't be talking about that. I'm not going to bore you. But likewise, cause and effect is, on the face of it, it is a very simple principle, but it can be broken down a little bit more carefully, and we can think about it more deeply. But we don't want to do that too much because it can verge on the boundary of a useless philosophical discussion. I don't want to get into that discussion about whether a tree falls in the wilderness if it makes a sound. That's not what I'm going to talk about. There's no point in it. What I do want to talk about today is that it's fundamental for us to understand how cause and effect works in the Bible. Now, and just as we can expect that a tree falling in the wilderness will make a sound even if nobody is there to hear it, there are certain things that we can expect when an action takes place based on what the Bible teaches in spiritual matters. Now, if you think about it, I just want to take a moment to cause you to imagine what life would be like if God did not have cause and effect in place. It's pretty hard to imagine how that would what that would be like. It's reasonable to say that if cause and effect did not apply, we would not have free moral agency. There would be nothing that we could do that would cause a response that we could control. There would be nothing that we could control if cause and effect was not a principle that even God operates within. Fortunately, we know that we do have some manner of control over our actions and decisions, and thereby the responses that we can expect, the outcomes that God teaches us that we can expect. I am glad that God uses cause and effect and abides by it. It is something that we can trust in. So what I want to talk about today involves looking at what the Bible declares that we can trust. What truths does the Bible hold that we can rely on so that we can look at cause and effect, and what types of things we can do and what types of outcomes we can expect. And also, we'll take a look at some of the behaviors that we may have and the effects on ourselves as well as others. And in some cases, these effects might be very far-reaching, more far-reaching than we might even imagine. So that's what I want to talk about today. Now, what I think is neat about the principle of cause and effect is that the instructions and the teachings in the Bible build on this foundation. Like I mentioned before, God and the teachings in the Bible use the principle of cause and effect, and it is a foundation for us. The corollary is that events that occur in the Bible, they are not mystical or magical. They're not purposeless occurrences that just happen to happen with no cause or impact or effect. God has a very specific plan and set of plans in place. He has rules that he abides by and that he shares with us. These things we can rely on. He works within the boundary of these rules. And because of that, we have a point of reference. We have a way of shaping our behavior so that we know what to expect. Now, certain laws that God has put into place, actually all of the laws that God has put into place, are true, they are trustworthy, and they give us a set of parameters to safely operate within. Now, before I get too deep into I'll be clear, I will not be talking about all of the truths of the Bible. I'm not going to go into that. But I do want to set the foundation for us. So I'd like to start by going over to Malachi 3, and I'd like to read verses 6 and 7 there. This establishes a very important point for us before we even get started with what the Bible teaches. Malachi 3 and verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you have said, in what way shall we return? Very simple point here. God does not change. He is constant. That is something that we must know. We must rely on. It's a very firm foundation. His purpose has been the same for all eternity. His laws have been the same for all eternity. Because he existed, he has existed for all eternity. He has not changed one bit. I'll be making this point very clear because it is critical for us to know that this is true. And because of this fact, there is no expiration date on the instructions that apply for us for all eternity. The things the Bible teaches are true forever, not temporarily. Hebrews 6, if you'll go over there with me, I'll read verses 17 through 19. Hebrews 6, verse 17. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. There is a lot stated here. A couple of the points that are very important for us is that it is impossible for God to lie. If there is a statement that God has made, it is true. It is not a lie. He will not be going back on that. And an anchor is mentioned here. The hope we have based on the teachings of God and his plan. The hope in his plan is an anchor for us because God cannot lie and because he does not change. That gives us that immovable and immutable reference point. It does not change. Numbers 23, verses 19 through 20 state the same thing. Numbers 23, starting in verse 19 and reading through 20. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and he will not do? Or has he spoken, and he will not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Here we read in these writings of Moses that God cannot lie once again. We also read that Moses has seen that what God has stated, he has done, and what he has stated, he will do. That is true in the past, is true in the future. It is something we can rely on. It is truly comforting knowing that God has established this foundation for us to rely on. God has a plan in mind for us as well. Please turn over to Psalm 33, and I'll read verses 10 and 11. All right. Psalm 33, starting in verse 10. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. His plans endure forever. The plans of man may not. In fact, it says they do not. And we can read in other places in Proverbs, it states that a man plans his way, but God directs his steps. God is in control. His plans are what stands firm. And that is something we can rely on because it does not change. Now, the reason I'm making this point so strongly is that it's very important for us to know that God does not change. He has established a firm foundation. And on top of that, we can build an understanding of what to expect based on what the Bible teaches. God can be relied on. He must be relied on. In fact, he's the only thing we can rely on. James 1:17, I'll read for you. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. His direction, his plans are sure. They are not varying. They are not turning. No matter what we do, his plans are solid. And we can be sure they won't change direction. And his plan is perfect. Every gift that comes from God is perfect. Whether that gift may seem perfect or not to us is another matter. But it is a fact. It is a fact. So with that, we've established that very, very abundantly here that God does not change. So let's get back to cause and effect. We know that God doesn't change. Let me show you that God also operates with the principle of cause and effect. I'll read, if you want to turn over to Ecclesiastes with me in chapter 3, verse 14. We'll see a very relevant scripture there. Starting in verse 14. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it that man should fear before him. That which has already been and what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what has passed. I want to focus on that last statement there. God requires an account of what has passed. Something that has happened, he requires an account for. There is an effect from previous events. And again, the statement is made here that God, whatever God does, it shall be forever. But he operates, even though within that context of an immovable plan that does not change, still, he works within that principle of cause and effect. There is something required for events that occur. Now, it doesn't talk about only good things must happen. An account requiring an account of what happens, there may be negative consequences. There may be positive consequences. But what we do know is that it is all in accordance with what God plans, what His intentions are. Everybody makes mistakes. We read a lot about the patriarchs of the Bible making some huge mistakes. We can read about Abraham. We're very familiar with the mistakes that Abraham made. He lost his patience when God had shared his plan with Abraham, telling him that he would bring forth great nations from his family. And Abraham waited and tried to make a family, we're sure. The Bible records this. He waited and waited and waited until he was far, far beyond a child-rearing age. And he lost his cool. He had consequences that resulted. He went into Hagar, his servant, and it brought forth Ishmael, his first child. But it was not God's intention for that to happen. But God's promise was not going to change. His plan did not change. But there were negative consequences that resulted. That family was not exactly what the perfect plan had been. Abraham had thrown in his own interpretation of what needed to be done. There are consequences, but God's plan does not change. That's the point I'm making. Please turn over to Galatians 6, and we'll read verses 7 through 10. This is a principle we're all very familiar with. Galatians 6, and verse 7, we read about reaping what you sow. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. God lets us know that what we do, there will be an effect. What we sow, we will reap. If we commit sins, there are consequences. If we live to the flesh, we will reap to the flesh. And the consequences of that kind of lifestyle, as we heard about in Mr. Harris's earlier sermon today. Now, when we do sin, we have the opportunity to repent. Fortunately, when we stumble, our knees, even though we repent, may be scraped, right? But we get up and we move on, because we know that God's plan has not changed. But there still is that cause and effect that we know He operates within. So He works within that principle. That is clear. He does not change. His plan is secure. We're involved in it, which is great. It's exciting to play a role in that. Now, based on that, we have to look at what comes from that. I'd like to turn over to Romans 6 and verse 23. If knowing that the plan of God does not change, I thought that it was important to outline that plan. And if there is a key scripture in the Bible that opens up the clear, concise, perfect plan of God, this is it. In my opinion, it's so strong. Romans 6:23. So much is stated here. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So much is stated here. It contains some of the largest, if not the largest, set of keys in the whole Bible. First, if we look at what happens here, we can see the principle of cause and effect in effect here. The sin causes death. The wages of sin is death. Behavior that is in contrast, in conflict, with God's laws causes death. That is a fact. And that opens up a ton of questions, right? What is sin? That answer we should know. What is death? What does that mean? And what causes, how does that work? How do those things work together? But the fact remains here. We can see there is a cause and an effect. There's another part of the plan that shows the principle of cause and effect in place here. That the gift of God is eternal life. Even though we sin and have earned death, God has given us a gift of eternal life. And how does that gift become available to us? Through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. So Jesus Christ has caused that gift to be made available to us. It's very concise and very powerful. If there's a simple and straightforward entry point into the Bible, I really believe this is it. Cause and effect is in place here, and a lot is described. I'd like to take this as our foundation now and look at some of the conditions that God has set before us. Knowing that he operates with the principle of cause and effect, what types of effects have a specific cause? And what types, and just the opposite way, what types of behaviors have an effect that is caused? The Bible is absolutely riddled with conditions. There's a two-letter word, it's called if. And based on whether something is true or not, the if may go in one direction or another. In computer science, this is called a control structure. And depending upon the truth of that statement, one thing will happen or it will not. Let's take a look at a couple key if statements in the Bible so we can understand just what will happen with certain behaviors and their effects. If you turn over to Exodus 19, verses 5 through 6, we have some fundamentals laid out for us. Exodus 19, verses 5 through 6. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. There is a cause and an effect mentioned here. Obeying God, that behavior of obeying God, has a cause of being a special people to God. A kingdom will be established, Israel here, but even greater in the grand context, if we understand God's great plan to bring many people into his family, he's talking about that holy nation of priests in his kingdom. It's not limited to an earthly kingdom, but it requires obedience. It is caused by obedience. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 2, describe something very similar. It talks about obedience as well. Obedience is very central. Since obedience is one of the key components of sin, disobedience rather. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. there is a cause and an effect. And it hinges on that if statement of obedience. Obedience causes blessings. God is clear about that. There's no way around it. This is a truth, an immovable statement. And likewise, there is an effect of disobedience. Just look across the column, if you will, to Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. There again, we have a cause and an effect. Curses upon disobedience. We know that the ultimate curse that God mentions is death. I'd like to cite another one. Sometimes, you know, we joke about stealing scriptures. I am deliberately going to steal one from the sermon earlier today. Mr. Harris had read Psalm 10 and 117, and I'll read it to you. Or Psalm 10, verse 17, not 117. It states, Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. There is a cause. When we prepare our hearts, it causes God to hear us, opening ourselves to be willing to obey God, causes God to hear us. It's very powerful. Now, we know that certain behaviors, things that we do, actions and events, have a defined effect. The Bible is clear about what we can expect if we do certain things. It is also important to know that things don't happen in isolation. Our behaviors may have an impact that affects many more than ourselves. And the good news is that God's plan is deliberate, and that we can't do anything to ruin his plans. But everything works together. Citing another scripture from Mr. Harris's sermon, this one I already had in my notes, but I'll read it anyway. Romans 8, verses 28 through 31. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Firmly establishing here, God's plan is working. Even though there might seem to be something that happens when we try to do something good and see something bad as that effect, that is God's plan in effect. Whether we may enjoy it or not, it is a fact. God has everything working together. The effects that we experience are the cause of something else. They are linked all together to fulfill his plan and his objectives. So summarizing, God has a specific plan. It is working. He uses the principle of cause and effect. We know that our behaviors not only trigger a response, but that those responses are linked. Everything works together. I'd like to cite a couple examples of cause and effect in action. The first is a familiar one, David and Bathsheba. You may recall that grievous sin that he committed, committing adultery, murdering his servant, or his one person who was fighting for him, Bathsheba's husband. I'd like to have you turn over to 2 Samuel 12, and I'll read verses 9 through 14, where we read about the impact, the outcome, the result, and the effect of David's sin. Even though David was a man after God's own heart, he sinned tremendously at certain times. He repented, but still that repentance from sin did not reverse the effect. The fact that that he was a man after God's own heart did not make David's paths perfectly smooth sailing at all. There were consequences that are still impacted today, are still in effect today. 2 Samuel 12, verses 9 through 14. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. There's the effect. The sword shall never leave your house. And where does the nation of Israel stand today? Are they a nation that has left this, where the sword has left them? I think not. If you have watched the Standing Watch program, you will learn that they are one of the most unpopular countries in the entire world. And they have tremendous need to defend themselves. And it stems from this event here. Verse 11, continuing, thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it, and you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. However, because this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. What tremendous consequences here. This is a terrible effect on what to David may have seemed like not too big of a deal when it was happening. It was an event between two people. And it had this severe impact, not only on him, not only on his family, but to generations to come into the future, forever, for his house. It has not left. So that's, you know, the negative impact. I don't want to focus too much on the negative consequences, though, because there are very many positive consequences and effects that we can look at as well in the Bible. God made a promise to Abraham. I mentioned it before, but I'd like to read about it to you right now. Please turn over to Genesis 22, and I'll read verses 16 through 18 there. Genesis 22, starting in verse 16. Cutting in just a few words there. By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. God made a promise to Abraham. Abraham followed through. He was faithful. He obeyed God, trusting him completely, and fulfilled a condition here. The other side of if is because. Because Abraham obeyed the voice of God, that if condition if you will obey me, was fulfilled. And what an effect that had, and on you and me, and on every single nation of the entire world. Everybody will be blessed because of Abraham's faith. His obedience had a tremendous effect. It caused something great. Now, Jesus Christ had a tremendous effect as well. If Abraham's effect was great, Jesus' is greater by no measure, I guess. I mean, it's tremendous in scale. Please turn over to John 3, and I'll read verse 36. And we just get a simple statement here summarizing a cause and effect that stems from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. John 3, verse 36, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." This is another cause and effect statement. If you and I believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we live by that as something that we take into effect in our lives, then we will have that everlasting life. That truth statement that I read earlier in Romans, we will have eternal life. But we must change our behavior so that we believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And likewise, if we don't, we will suffer the consequences. We do not have the opportunity to take advantage of the forgiveness that is provided with that. And then the wrath of God abides in us if we do not take advantage of that sacrifice. So we see the cause and effect here restated. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ has caused us, it's given us the availability to live eternally. Now, yes, just making that even more clear. When we understand that Jesus Christ died because we sin, we understand that we have caused that need for Jesus Christ to be killed, to be sacrificed. But there is an opportunity for us to to repent. Because we could not have eternal life without the penalty of sin being paid for, we can see this whole plan come into view. It's really amazing when we understand the whole system, that God's plan does not change, that everything that has occurred and that will occur happens for a reason within the bounds of his plan. Very powerful. Now, if we believe in the authority of the Bible, there are certain things that we can rely on unequivocally, with no exception. That God, because we can believe those things because God does not change. His plan is immovable. It does not vary. He has given us rules to abide by, clear statements, giving us a way of knowing what to expect when we behave. These are rules that we live by. And by following these rules, we can work towards changing our behavior to achieve the desired goal that we want. By understanding how that system works that God has established for us, we have enough in our control to be successful, but we have to apply it correctly. We're responsible now. We know that God has some rules, and we have to change our behavior if we want to live a life that is pleasing to Him. God knows what He is doing, and His plan is reliable. Knowing the causes and effects of these laws of God, it gives us the ability to see how we can be successful. Now, we know what we need to do to have eternal life. The Bible tells us what's true. It tells us what to do. Now, you and I just have to cause that effect.